When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Biggest news coming out of the weekend, Tommy. We're joined by John Shannon, 100% hockey. Matthew Tkachuk had a surgery. Not confirmed by anybody, but we see the pictures out there where he's wrapped and he's on crutches.
Actually, I had heard last week that he had just surgery, so yes.
Well, why didn't you share that with me?
Because, you know, you're a team guy, you know, and I don't want to, you know, you may... You may say something, you know, there's a big rivalry, that Florida-Vegas rivalry, you know, so.
But the timeline should set up for a nice return before the Olympic Winter Games, which everybody's looking at, and then the Stanley Cup playoffs. But it looks like Matthew timed it perfectly. Got a lot of the celebrating out of the way, yeah. And then the surgery.
That's, you know what, Matthew's a smart guy. He understands that, you know, and why have surgery too early and then you have to go to camp?
You know, so good point. Or those summer skates.
Well, and be ready for not only the, and you said it right. Thank you for saying it right. Olympic Winter Games. And then the Stanley Cup run. Because, you know, I just don't know who's going to push the Panthers in the Eastern Conference back in, and they're going to have a chance at the Stanley Cup one more time.
We went through this the other day. It's wide open in the East.
Yeah,
and wide open. Really, there's a couple of teams in the West, but then it's pretty balanced as well. With what I love is a lot of these teams that are knocking on the door trying to get back in.
Well, like who you think's knocking at the door? Tell me. I think
in the West.
No, I was thinking the East. So the West,
West. I would go Buffalo's knocking at the door for sure.
Well, Buffalo and Detroit are two teams that they've been knocking on the door too long. They better get they better break the door down this year.
And Ottawa and Montreal have to stay in the room.
Well, and the question becomes, as we said last week, if Detroit or Buffalo get in, at whose expense?
And like, did anybody see Boston falling to the bottom of the division last year? No. So there is that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's that.
And in the West.
You're right about the West. The West is crazy.
Like Seattle. What does Seattle do? They were in, then they're out, and then made changes, a couple of changes. I don't expect Anaheim to get in, but they should be better.
I do. I expect Anaheim to make the playoffs this year.
Well, we disagree on that.
Okay.
Big step. Yeah. But
I think the big step was last year, and I think that Pat Verbeek has made enough change that they can make another step, and Joel Quenneville's coaching will put this team in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And put St. Louis into that conversation about are they in, are they out, what are they?
St. Louis is a fascinating one to me. Yeah. I think St. Louis is at a crossroads. You know, they've got to find a way to get to that next level. Jim Montgomery was really was the right hire at the right time, just by coincidence, it appears. But at the same time, you know, that that wild card position in the West, the Central Division, man, is it tough. It is tough. And, I mean, Nashville's got to be better, Darren. Don't you think Nashville will be better this year?
Better, but are they a playoff team? We all thought they were a playoff team last year, and it disintegrated.
Yes, we did. Well, we got burned by big name hockey. We thought big names would make that team successful. But obviously Barry and Andrew thought so too.
I'm going to run some numbers by the sports books and just see exactly what the odds are for playoff possibilities and leading scorer MVP type things. Because we all go into a season thinking Connor McDavid's going to be the best player. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen every year. And so where does that rank in his contract? A perfect conversation today with Darren Ferris, the great agent, Sam Bennett, Mitch Marner, Nazem Kadri, among others. He's going to join us today. And we got Connor McDavid just hanging out there, waiting to sign. And he's kind of holding up the market a little bit. It feels like it.
And, well, McDavid and Kaprizov. Those are the two guys in similar scenarios.
Jack Eichel's eligible too?
If Jack Eichel's not going anywhere.
No, yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to say that he was going anywhere. I agree. He's not going anywhere. I'm just saying he's eligible.
Yes. But and so why do you think that Eichel doesn't get mentioned in the same breath as McDavid and Kaprizov?
Because he's won and he's so happy. Okay. And
McDavid's happy.
But there's that he hasn't won and he's the best player in the world and everybody is going to go after him. Not that he wouldn't go after Jack, but there's two perceptions there, isn't there? On Connor and Jack. The whole thing, Connor's going to go for 3 or 4 years and then reevaluate. You don't hear that with Jack. Jack's super happy and he should be.
Yeah, no. He should certainly be happy, but it is the biggest difference that one of them has their name on the Stanley Cup and one doesn't,
or one plays in a Canadian market and one doesn't.
No, I don't see that as the issue. Connor McDavid is very happy in Edmonton, very happy, great lifestyle. I think he's embraced the pressure. I think the fan base in Edmonton. I think he's embraced the fan base at Edmonton, as Jack has Vegas, I'm sure. But I don't think that there would be near this discussion, Darren, if McDavid's name was on the Stanley Cup.
That's fair. I think it's more Canadian market, but I'll accept your argument.
Well, that's the first time you've disagreed with me today. Won't be the last.
No, we'll get into it a little bit. So Darren Ferris is going to join us. He's somebody that you know very well.
Talking about Jack Eichel's new line mate. I think he's going to be his line mate, don't you?
Out of camp? Yeah. Or going into camp? Yeah. We thought there were some combinations a year ago that were going to happen, and injuries changed it up, and things clicked, and it never went that way. But out of the gate, right winger for Jack Eichel, for sure. And Ivan Barbashev over on the left.
Well, I think that Darren has always been certainly very open with me. I've known Darren a long time. I met him first when he was working with Bobby Orr. He's put himself in a really good spot as one of the high-profile hockey agents. And maybe we can get a little glimpse behind the curtain of what's gone on with some of his high-profile clients and their contract negotiations.
This is an agency it doesn't have a lot of clients, but they're all high profile.
Well, certainly on Darren Ferris's list, high profile.
That's where I would go.
But you know, this is Cortex is not a small company. They do have lots of clients, they've got great financial backing as well.
Darren Ferris on Mitch Marner, Sam Bennett, and the state of the game as it relates to the new CBA. All coming up if John will walk him through getting on board and on the screen. 100% hockey about? With John Shannon.
What,
the terrible
art. What are you
art.
Talking about? You are just so full
you
of
just,
it.
You just wait until just, we get there.
You're just full of it today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
There's so much to get into. Welcome to 100% Hockey, Darren Ferris. Really encouraged by your ability to join us today and get into some stuff.
Yeah. I am excited. Looking forward to talking to you guys.
I can tell. You've come a long way from, you know, being that young guy running around Air Canada Center.
Yeah. It's been, 30 years now, eh?
Oh, I know. Things have changed. Now you're the big wheel.
Yeah. Remember the old gardens.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Well, you survived the first 5 minutes just getting set up with John telling you to turn your camera this way and tilt it up that way. Are you okay going forward? Do you need a moment to catch your breath?
No, I'm good.
Give us an idea.
You make it sound, Darren, like I'm a bossy guy.
No, it's great. I know all that stuff needs to happen, but I don't need to do any of it. So it's perfect. I'm the silent partner in that. Darren, there's so much that we want to get into, from what's happening this summer and going into this season with you and your clients. But give us an idea, for those that don't know you, your background.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been doing this now about 30 years. When I got out of coaching, I was actually headed into the nutrition business. And then the guy I was coaching with, Greg Ireland, suggested, hey, you know, you should be an agent. You know, you have all these contacts and you love the game and you can stay in touch with the game. And so, lo and behold, I ventured down that path. And, you know, one thing after another, I worked for a larger agency. Then I worked for Bobby Orr for about 18 years and then started my own practice. And shortly thereafter, merged my company with Cortex, which is owned by the Saputo family, who put tremendous, you know, money and effort around it, you know, caring about players and just the facilities they built. I'm at one of them now. It's a complete training center with, I'm sure you're familiar, Dr. Gallia's in here. There's a whole, you could say, training and rehab, everything in one center, and more along the line. Even the women's hockey, we've got a division now for women's hockey, and we've been growing quite fast. So
It always sounds, you know, when you hear Darren Draeger talk about you guys, when you hear Elliot talk about you guys, there's a glamour to it. But it's not that glamorous, is it?
No, it's not. You're not there, you know, when there's those calls late at night, or whether it's from a player or a family, you know, it's a lot different than most could imagine. And I know it sounds like it is, but there's the trials and tribulations. There's the, you know, the anxiety from players you got to control. And there's a lot of ups and downs, and even at night thinking about it. And even in Mitch's deal, I wanted that to go to free agency and do the whole dog and pony show. He didn't want to do it, but I was all set to do it. And but we didn't end up, we ended up getting a result that he's happy with.
Well, now that you brought it up, we can ask it. How do you, I mean, this was a noisy, noisy year for Mitch Marner and for you.
But
how did you manage that?
Well, one part people don't always see is the toll the social media mainstream coverage can take on a player and their family. You know, Mitch went through years of that. At the end of every season, instead of being able to breathe and reset and his family were bracing for the storm, you know, the negativity, the blame, the hate, it was just directed at him and spilled over to other people closest to him. That creates a dangerous environment. And there were even times where, you know, police had to be involved. Through it all, you know, Mitch showed incredible strength. But at the end of the day, he's more than a hockey player. He's a son, a brother, and now a new father, you know, to a young boy. And protecting that side of him has always been just as important as negotiating the contracts. When it comes time to make a decision about his future, it wasn't about chasing the, you know, the last dollar. He had opportunities to make more money elsewhere, but you know, what mattered to him was finding a place, you know, he could focus on playing the game he loves, you know, where his family could feel safe and where he had a real chance to compete for a Stanley Cup. He heard directly from other players about Vegas and how they treat, you know, the players and their families too. And once he knew that, his mind was made up at the end of the season. And, you know, from my perspective as an agent, I would have preferred him to go through the full process, sit down with multiple teams and explore every option. But for him, it was clear he didn't want to go through that, as I said, dog and pony show and go to free agency when he already knew where he wanted to be. Safety for his family is and being in the right environment mattered most. And my job at that point simply was to support his decision and help him get there. At the end of the day, his focus now is entirely on what's ahead, and he believes Vegas is the right place for him, and his energies is on helping that team win. So,
are you able to put a percentage, if you could, on how much of a factor the noise and the environment in Toronto played in this?
I think it accumulated over the years. This wasn't something that was just new. This was going way back, and then going through the Babcock fiasco, and there were other things that are not public. I'm not going to bring out, and it was just constant negativity and misinformation in the public, and then you can't blame the fans. They react to what they hear, and sometimes it's misinformation, and you know, we really couldn't go out and attack every message that was out there that was incorrect. And you just give those people credibility. So, and it just creates a bigger storm. So, it was difficult. It was difficult to manage. It was difficult to get through. The wrong messages, I think, were out there, especially on social media. It was an attack, even myself personally, you get death threats, it's unbelievable. You wouldn't believe the kind of visceral hate there was out there at some point. It was always at the end of the season.
Was there a point during the season that you knew he wasn't going to be a Toronto Maple Leaf again?
Well, I think once, you know, that conversation about the possible trade with Carolina, he did not want to leave. His wife was pregnant. Had that not been the case, maybe he would have done something. But I think at that point, he was set on still having consideration for Toronto, but he just wanted to go through the right thought process and wanted to help Toronto try to win while he was there. That was important to him.
But just the fact that whole thing became so public, Darren, I mean, they were on the road, Colorado and Vegas, if I recall. And it came out that the club had gone to you and to Mitch.
Yeah.
The fact that this was public, I mean, doesn't that speak volumes to where this thing was?
Yeah, that's, I think, added to the frustration and then probably, you know, made it even worse. And it didn't go down as everybody thinks it went down. I mean, it wasn't like there was a deal there. It was one that was being talked about, and whether the leak came out of Toronto or came out of Florida, I was infuriated at both clubs. It was unfortunate, but, we had to deal with that, at that time. And, it's just constant distraction.
Why Vegas? And how did that become the number one destination for Mitch? Because you don't have any other Vegas clients, right?
No. I don't personally. Phil LeCavier does, that works with me, and he has a player there. But I know Mitch, you know, in all his travels and through the Four Nations, players he's playing with, all the players talk. Players always talk about where, you know, how teams treat you, and they talk amongst themselves. And I remember when Kent left our organization at Cortex and decided to take the GM job, he even said to me, he said, Darren, I'm going to make it a place where players, and he understood it coming from the agent side, you know, because you're always having that conversation with a client. And he said, I want players, you know, even when they leave, to have a, you know, a positive experience in Montreal, that they say to other players, hey, you got to play here. And not just the player, but the families.
You're talking about Kent Hughes, who's from the agency business to become the general manager in Montreal.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's done a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah, but he's an astute general manager. Let me tell you, he's going to do real. He's already done really well. He's one of the smartest guys I've ever worked with, so...
What would your relationship and Mitch's relationship be with Brad, Trey Living, and the Toronto Maple Leafs now?
Yeah, it's still cordial. I've known Brad quite a while. He's a good man. He's he's got a tough job in front of him, and Toronto's not an easy organization to work in with all the noise on the outside. But he seems to weather it. But yeah, everything's fine between us. We were talking about a free agent that I have currently that's still out there. I just recently acquired, and you know, we had a discussion, and we continue to, I mean, it's business as you know, as usual.
How do you characterize Mitch's current state now compared to maybe a year ago at this time or 6 months ago at this time as he prepares for his first season in Vegas?
I think, one, he's relieved. He's excited. I see a reborn Mitch. I think he's going to explode there without, you know, this outside pressure. I think he's going to do fine. He's back to the old Mitch, and that's the great thing. And the family's in a better mental state, I think, totally, both him and the family. I think he's going to really succeed where he's going.
Do you believe there were the accusations of tampering occurred?
No, that didn't happen. That's nonsense. We actually explored being able to speak to teams, you know, prior to that July 1. You know, Brad wasn't against me speaking to teams. I even wanted to see if we could meet with the teams prior to that July 1, but it's not permitted in the league unless you're talking about a trade. So we couldn't do that. We thought we could go down that path, but that couldn't happen. So that kind of restricted even Toronto from getting an opportunity to try to do something. Because the reason I wanted him to go through that whole process is to see what was out there and then make an educated decision. But the rules don't permit that, so...
You think he left a lot of money on the table?
You know what? I think,
and
I
that's mean, that's with a $12 million AAV, yeah, which I is mean, a 12 saying
million,
something.
Yeah, like the 12 million AAV. Like, you know, there's a lot of layers that sometimes people forget. The tax advantages, cost differences between markets, playing in places like Florida or Vegas, where there's no state tax, can make a huge impact. I mean, a contract in those markets stretches a lot further than the same in Toronto, New York, California. You know, when you combine, you know, the right opportunity on the ice and the financial and lifestyle advantages of the off ice, you know, that's where a deal really becomes powerful. And, you know, probably equivalent to what, maybe 14, 15 million in those other centers, right?
Mm-hmm. So the other player that you have in your fold,
yeah,
was a ton of noise about him coming back.
Yeah, and that's why I put so much into the business side, because, you know, contracts aren't just about numbers. They're about stability, opportunity, and respect. Take Sam as an, you know, for example, in Calgary, he struggled to get the role and opportunity, you know, he deserved. And we created a leverage to get him moved to Florida, and that changed everything. You know, he was given the chance to shine, and he proved exactly what kind of player he could be. And from there, we were able to structure a deal that would give him security he needed and a crucial stage in his career, while also giving the Panthers a player ready to thrive. And there's another, you know, player, Bowen Byram, who I recently did the contract was one of the deals that just, you know, doesn't follow the market. It helps get, help set it, actually. We positioned him so he's well compensated, but also walked him directly to free agency at an age where, you know, where he'll have maximum leverage. That's the kind of strategic thinking that can change a career and in some cases influences how other deals are structured across the league, right?
I want to get back to Bennett, but you brought up Byram. But Bowen has no issue playing in Buffalo.
No, he doesn't.
Okay. So Sam, I mean, there was so much noise on Sam. Hey, listen, guilty as charged. I was one of those guys saying either Florida or Toronto, because that's what I had been told.
Yeah.
But was it ever in his mind that he was leaving Florida?
He was prepared to, if the number wasn't right. And, you know, he was prepared to leave if it wasn't going to get to the number that, you know, that was what we were looking for. He was, I was a little upset when he did the old mic drop there. And
yeah. By the way, this sounds like between what Marner did and Bennett did, you can't control your guys.
No. Especially when they're drinking. Yeah, I think Sam said in one of his interviews, it's the only time my agent yelled at me.
Did you? So you wanted Mitch to go to free agency. It was it the same way with Sam, or
well,
did
yes,
it feel
well,
different because they'd won?
The only reason it felt different, I don't think there was that social media, mainstream media, even attacks on Sam as there was on Mitch. So there was a lot more to Mitch's than there was to Sam's. I wasn't putting police in front of his house at the end of every season for Sam. You know, I think in both cases were a little different, even though they sound the same. I always believe players should explore free agency. You earn that right. You spend so much time, you know, throughout your career to get to that point. You know, otherwise, how do you make an educated and informed decision? That's the only way you can do that. Now, there's other factors that come in, family and lifestyle, and, you know, guys are happy where they're at. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about money and from an agent's perspective, and as well as the well-being of your client. And you're trying to bring as much information to them as you can. And not that, even preparing them prior to that and setting up their contracts so that they are able to get to those points.
By the way, Sam was smack in the middle of social media too, but it was all about hitting Anthony Stolarz.
Yeah.
So it was a different animal.
Yeah.
You mentioned the mic drop at the Stanley Cup celebration.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing. You guys had some back and forth about whether you should say it or not, but did that affect negotiations? Does it have an impact?
No, because at the end of the day, we're still, but it doesn't help. You know,
okay, so how much impact is there?
Hold on. The deal wasn't done by then?
No. No. The deal wasn't done. And I think we were, where was I? I was at the draft. Actually, the day of the draft, that's when we did the deal. I mean, you know, I had conversations throughout the year, with their assistant GM, Paul Kropelka, who's an up-and-coming. As you know, Jeff, I worked with – John, I worked with Paul at the Ore Group when I was there. And Paul's a smart man and works hard in his business. And he really tried to get Sam signed throughout the year. Both him and Billy. Billy, at the end of the day, called and we worked the deal out.
So what's the influence of what Sam said in at the moment during the deal?
It didn't really have an impact because he was set and so was I. If that number wasn't there, I was firm. He was firm. Even after we had that conversation, he was still firm. The guys put him up to it. So, and when you're, I think he probably wished he didn't have a few wobbly pops before doing that. But
was it brought up in your negotiations?
No.
It wasn't, even by Florida?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't brought up.
By the way, Sam got married this summer. How many weddings have you been to? Because it seems like this is the summer of...
Yes. Yeah, Chatfield got married. Sam, there's a whole bunch of... guys, they get away from their training. Some of them get... Especially the destination ones.
Agents get away from the training, too.
Yes. But the key
we'll take a break and we'll come back with Darren Ferris as we continue 100% Hockey with Millard and Channing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You brought up the impact of the fans and the market on Mitch in Toronto, and you said you put police in front of his house at the end of a couple of seasons.
Oh, yeah.
So that happened multiple times that you had a presence out front?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We had people throwing stuff in his yard. Someone actually posted his address once. We had to get it taken down with the help of Leaf Security to take it down. And there was another occasion where there was a death threat and we traced it to a kid in Oakville and the police went and people think they can hide behind social media, but it's easy to, even when you put up a fake name, it's easy to follow. It's easy to find out where it's coming from. I guess people have this false sense of security when they think they put a fake name and we're not going to be able to find them. It's we've even hired internally. We have on retainer a couple of NHL, former NHL security guys that were RCMP, so forth. They do a lot of that for us to protect our clients.
I say this knowing that you have to take every threat seriously, but how concerned were you during some of these events?
You're always concerned because even you can't say, it's just social media, because if something happened, that would be the biggest regret you could ever have. So you got to take every one of those seriously. It's unfortunate and what happens is it builds up and they attack him, his family, his father. Like the misinformation out there, it's ridiculous. His father's not as involved as everyone thinks he is, and yet they attack him as well, and it's nonsense. He's no different than any other father client that I have, and there's, for some reason, everybody chooses to point the target at them, and I don't know why or from the beginning. I mean, when it comes to contracts, it's negotiation. There's a process. You know, some of it ends up public. There's leaks in organizations and it gets out and then it gets twisted and misinformation gets out there. And then it just steamrolls from there.
What role do you think the Toronto media played in this?
They have a part. They definitely have a part. There's, I won't mention a few guys, but there's, you know, there's things they've said that are not true. Or sometimes some guys, hey, they'll say, even if they don't know it's true, they'll say, hey, you know what I think? Instead of it actually being something with concrete evidence behind it, that always annoys me because as soon as they say, you know what I think, it doesn't say that actually happened or this is the situation, but it ends up being in the person listening. They don't hear that you're just, you know, assuming. They hear, oh, that's an actual fact. And a lot of them, probably 90% of it is fictitious. So
It's funny. There appears to be always a lot of noise around a few of your clients. Lots of noise around NAS again.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
And NAS, you know, he took a lot of, during that St. Louis run, some real threats and hate. And it's unfortunate. The world we're in, we've lost our humanity, it seems, in this world today. And you don't have to look far to see what's going on in the world. And there's no care for humanity anymore and no respect for people. And and I think social media has really, it's been a detriment. It hasn't been a positive, really. It's he's suffered a lot of racism, and actually he's coming in here in a few minutes, but he's a good human being. He's a great hockey player. Listen, he had more, that was another free agency signing that he could have been in another team for $8.5 million, and he didn't take it. He ended up going to Calgary.
I liked what he said about Hockey Canada not being invited to the Olympic orientation camp. Did he run that by you before he said that?
No, he did that on his own. He did it on his own. Listen, he's an experienced veteran. He's been through a lot, whether it's trying. I mean, he'd love to play in Toronto still, even though he went through all that. Eventually, guys.
Now you're stirring the pot. Yeah. That's a good job.
Yeah, he wouldn't. He loves Calgary. Don't get me wrong. He loves it playing there, but he still has a love for Toronto as well. So I know that got out there or there. Montreal. See, there's examples. Everyone talking about him going to Toronto or Montreal. It's not. He's in Calgary. It's a great city to play in. They're getting a new rink. It's safe. The fans are tremendous. He loves it there.
By the way, I think, to me, the watershed moment in Naz's career wasn't on the ice. It was when he wrote his book.
Yes.
Because I think the book, I think he did a lot of reflection.
Yeah.
And then I think that there was a lot of explanation in the book, too. And I know it changed my opinion of Nazem Kadri.
Yeah.
And having been a guy that's written the book, it's more reflective on you and you learn more about yourself. And I think Naz did a lot of learning.
Yeah. And he went through a lot. There's a lot that wasn't in that book and it probably would not be seen well on the league and the way he was treated. And he didn't mention a lot of things that, that came about during his tenure Toronto. And but you know, at the end of the day, you're right that at least people got to see the human side,
right?
Hey, I think Jazzy Cat's Instagram account was the biggest thing.
That's his wife, Ashley. she's unbelievable. She's a great lady.
So let's actually talk about brass tacks, about the business. You were involved in the Broberg offer sheet last summer.
Yes.
You were a little involved in, you may not admit it, but at that point, I know that Dylan Holloway actually relied a little bit on you at that point.
Yeah, we were, you know, during that whole process, calling around. And again, this is how, you know, our job is, you know, when we get in these situations to set up players to succeed, and when your negotiation may not be going where you want, you then explore when the option's there. We have all these tools, such as the offer sheet. I called around and had a few teams that were interested in the offer sheet. And from there, you're trying to convince the teams to do the offer sheet. And, Doug and Picciarelli there, both of them are pretty astute hockey guys there in St. Louis. And they saw an opportunity as well. And just coincidentally, I was giving counsel to Holloway's agent, and he wasn't going to sign the night before. He actually wasn't going to sign. He was going to stay in Edmonton, but I got on the phone with him, and we had a conversation and educated him on the business side of it. He understood, and now he's set up to make a lot of money that he would have probably left on the table.
Go ahead, John.
No, I thought there would be more offer sheets after the success of those two.
Well, not really, because I know people said that. And when I saw those out there, I said, no, like that's not the case. It's when a team puts themselves vulnerable like that, then guys aren't going to do an offer sheet unless they know they're getting the player. They're not just going to do it to raise the bar level on salaries. They want to know they're getting the player. And if there's an opportunity that a team puts themselves in that position where they're vulnerable to offer sheets, that's what'll happen. And in this case, we had to wait until after the arbitration period, because we didn't want Edmonton trading for a player with arbitration rights, because then they could buy out someone. So we knew they didn't have that. So we waited till after that date to actually start the process.
Does the agent come up with the parameters of the offer sheet, or does the club come up with that?
As far as the dollars and that's negotiated. Yeah, okay. That's negotiated, and the team will say, here, this is the max we're going to go to. But in order to get the sheet, the offer sheet, and to be successful, sometimes you have to go to a number that's probably above that player's pay grade at that time, and where it makes it a little painful, as well as for the team to actually match. And those are the things you have to weigh.
And from your experience, does the team come to you with the idea of the offer sheet, or
sometimes,
do you go to them?
Sometimes, and most times it's the agent has to go out I started phoning around everywhere and saying, hey, here's a possibility, and using my contacts and trying to see if there was one that was available, if someone had some interest in doing it. It happens both ways.
I'm curious about Taylor Hall.
Yes.
You've been with Taylor a long time.
Yes.
And there's a lot of loyalty there too. And there's been lots of ups and lots of downs.
Yes.
And right now I would suggest he's on an up. Carolina, yeah. He's been reinvigorated in Carolina. How do you, on a daily basis, how do you deal with an individual client like that, trying to make sure that he's in the right spot and he's in the right frame of mind?
Again, there's another one I would have liked to go on free agency again, but he loved it there so much. He said, Darren, he's had every time we've gone. He went during that flat cap and we still got him that $8 million deal.
Only 1 year though.
Yeah, I know. It was purposely. He didn't want to stay in Buffalo, and it was a style. There weren't many jobs that time. Remember, we had the flat cap. It was tough. Those were hard times to get deals. But he actually loved going to Carolina. Like, while he was there, his experience with the coach and playing there, he said, Darren, I don't want to go anywhere else. This is where I want to settle. This is the place. So we struck the deal for him. And at his age, you can make those decisions at that age. If this was a younger player, we would set it up probably differently. You would have had more pushback from me.
Do you realize how old we sound when you say at his age, and all know Taylor versus Tyler thing?
I know.
I mean, my goodness gracious.
Yes. I know. Time flies.
How much do you follow what's going on right now? We got a couple of high profile guys that are eligible to sign.
Yeah,
haven't signed.
It'll be interesting. I recently have brought on Matt Grzelcyk. He just recently switched over to us, and it's late, but it's he's a 40-point defenseman out there. Like, yeah, that's hard to find. I don't know why his previous representation didn't get him signed, but hey, this is a gift for someone. And you've got the other guy in Minnesota there. He's going to be probably well compensated, and it'll be interesting to see where the market goes, because there's a lot of money in the system now.
Do you believe they're all waiting for Connor to sign?
Could be. It could be.
That appears to be the case. Like, why would you sign if you're in that? No, nobody's better than Connor or bigger than Connor. But if you're in that universe, it speaks to me. Why would you sign until that happens? Would that be your same advice?
Unless the deal was there, unless it was the right number, right? At the end of the day, maybe that number isn't there yet. And, you know, I hate to say, some guys might take the lazy route and do that and say, hey, I'll just wait, or, you know, do their job, get the number and try to work towards that number. Sometimes I always find a lot of guys wait, and rightfully so. I've had situations where a player back when Athanasiou was, his deal was coming up, there was another RFA that was going to sign for 2.2 that would actually affect him. And this is when he was with Detroit, and I actually got wind of it, and I had call the PA, say, hey, call his agent, tell him to wait because I've got this deal coming up and I'm going to get it at $3 million. And so we ended up doing the deal at $3 million, and that other player ended up getting more money. So it's important, sometimes to wait for someone else that is going to set a market.
What is the role of the Players Association?
They're a sounding board sometimes. They're, you have questions on the CBA that maybe you might miss. It's always good to have another opinion. And they try to manage it the best they can. They got a really smart and astute guy in there with the contracts and arbitration, and Roland Lee. He's been around a long time, and they're lucky to have him. I can tell you that.
John, you want one more? Because I want to just bring it back to Mitch.
I have two. The first one is that what do you think of the new CBA?
I'll keep my comments to myself on that one.
That was a rhetorical question.
Yeah. Is there one or two things?
There aren't many agents happy with this thing.
No. And they're talking about bringing it forward here in January, some parts of it. I don't like that the young guys now, that it's 4 years to decide. I think it, in my opinion, I would have probably pushed more for 2 years and keep everybody 2 years as opposed to four. And there's some other part we can get into. That's a whole new podcast, but, I'm sure the people that were involved did the best they could, but, I don't know. Maybe if Bob Goodenow was there still, it would be a different world. We wouldn't have a cap. And
that's a can of worms, baby. Hey, you and I were texting last week. You were obviously in Europe at the Helsinki Gretzky.
No, actually, I was taking a few days off ended up in it was in Amsterdam and then Dublin, and ended up in that Air Canada strike. And oh my God, that was horrendous. That was a terrible experience anyway. So
I assumed you were at the tournament, because my question is when do you take time off? Because we know when teams can do it, but I don't think, do agents get a break?
It's difficult in our business. I mean, to be successful in it, it's difficult. You're always got your phone with you. There's guys that I know that do and shut it off. I'm one of those ones that don't, and everybody's different. So, you're doing your best. You gotta be on call.
On the CBA, the percentage of the signing bonus, how does that affect how you guys do a deal and that restriction?
Yeah, like those are things that, you don't, you know, I mean, you probably say, in my mind, I don't like the cap. I don't like, you know, that we're restricted in those areas. Reducing the bonus now, it's a win for the league, not for the players. I mean, the players got the increase in the playoff pool there, but it was a good thing. As I said, there's a lot of details we can go into, but unfortunately, we're where we're at, and we're just got to deal with it.
Would you give it a letter grade?
You know what? I'm going to, again, reserve my comments.
I for incomplete.
Mitch, yes. We're looking around the facility every day, wondering, is this going to be the day that that he rolls in and gets things going? On the ice, what do you think he's most excited about?
I mean, he's going to play with Jack Eichel. The team is a competitive team. They're always competitive every year or so. I think he's just excited to get going and get playing. I mean, he loves the game. He has an insatiable appetite to play the game, and he's a smart player. Listen, he took all that criticism being a leading point getter even in the playoffs, and he still got attacked. You know, like there was just no winning, you know, as far as off the ice with the fans, which is unfortunate. Now, there was a large group that did support him. I shouldn't be poo-pooing on everything because there are a lot of people, good people that are respectful and understand. Listen, it's always okay to, you know, to have your critiques of players play, but when it gets personal, that's where it's and you attack family and the player personally. Those are the things I think he'll be happy to have behind him.
What's the ceiling for him then? If he's a 100-point guy and he's dealing with all that, yeah. And you remove that's challenges what
I'm
saying. In the office.
I think he's going to explode. So, I mean, I'm excited to see what comes next. I think he's going to really do really well there with a clear mind. And I already see it in talking to him now. It's a different person mentally. He's in a good space, and it's tough. People don't realize what these players go through, and there's no empathy for them when someone pushes send on a tweet, and, you know, you can say, hey, ignore it. And it still gets out. Family, friends will always call and say, hey, did you see this, what this guy said about you? And they live with that every day. And everyone can say, hey, yeah, but look at the money. It's part of their, no, it's not. Mental abuse is not part of it. You get enough internally from an organization, sometimes from teams. And now you got to deal with that. And, you know, you've got family, you got to move all the time. And it's like you get uprooted. And, you know, I remember Damon Green's rant there about how players had to be respectful and how to, but teams didn't. Teams can talk about, you know, trading a player. They can talk about, you know, whatever they want about players' injury and so forth. And but a player has to be respectful. A player, it's nonsense.
Do you tell your players to eliminate social media, or
yes,
are you okay with it?
You know what? I tell them to be, if they're on it, be very careful, because, you know, once it's out there, it's out there. And unfortunately, on the marketing side, everybody wants to see a large, you know, social media presence in order to get those large marketing deals. It's a balance that you got to go, hey, if you want in, you just be careful in what you post. So put it this way. If you don't want your mother to see it, don't post it.
By the way, have you got your tickets for January 15th in Vegas and January 23rd? In
yes, absolutely.
The schedule maker, a brilliant stroke, 8 days, two games. And it's going to be a circus.
Yes. Yes.
Is it good that it's that close?
I mean, listen, for hockey, any of this stuff, as I'm sure, getting it out there is great. And especially in those American markets, you know, like that, you know, the Four Nations did a lot, that whole thing built. I mean, my neighbors in Florida were you know, all of a sudden hockey fans after that. So it was, it did do its job. So anything I'm sure, you know, press wise is good for hockey. I'm sure Gary enjoys all that part of it. So.
So you do have your tickets?
Yeah, I do have my tickets. No, okay. I have my schedule planned for those games. So
good. Oh, well, I can't wait to catch up with you when you are in town. Yep. Look forward to it, and really excited about Sam and Mitch and their new contracts and Naz with what he's doing, all your clients. Grizzlick, really appreciate you joining us today. And the fact that you got through the first 4 minutes before we even started recording is a testament to you, Darren.
Thanks.
I can't believe the abuse I take.
Yeah.
You should see what John gets on social media.
Oh, yeah. we can't say those words.
Well,
on
that's
the podcast.
What I'm saying. It's, I'm sure. How many times do family and friends say, did you see what so-and-so said about you?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, no,
I usually send them a text saying, did you see what I said about you?
Yeah.
No, thanks, Darren.
No problem. I appreciate it.
All right, letter grade for the CBA. You said incomplete?
I mean, that was a great question, by the way. I thought that's what Darren could have said. You know, the last 6 or 7 years, I've been teaching college and a couple of days a week. And so when I get really mad, they say, well, give me a letter grade. I said, no, I'm going to give you an I. An I? Incomplete. Everybody freaks out with that. They understand F. They understand A. They don't understand I.
Incomplete. Does that mean I still have a shot, or not?
That means you better get your ass in gear and work harder.
I don't think agents would ever be happy with a CBA, right? So let's start there.
And I think it's just exacerbated itself since we've got to a cap. You know, they're never going to be happy with the CBA with a cap. And that's the reality of where they are. And it's a tough, they've been put in a tough position. You know, it's funny. Steve Simmons on the weekend was writing about Cliff Fletcher again.
Toronto Sun columnist.
Yeah. And Cliff just turned 90. And
Cliff and I share a birthday.
You and Cliff. So I didn't get invited.
I did not turn 90.
I didn't get invited to the party either.
No.
And Cliff said that, you know, the biggest issue today is how managers, you know, wiggle through the cap situation. And it's the same for the agents. And Cliff's admiration for the managers, the 32 of them, and how they manage the cap, because Cliff used to make mistakes and then would just spend his way out of it.
Yeah. he could be more aggressive.
Much more aggressive. Listen, before the cap, the New York Rangers, Detroit Red Wings, Toronto Maple Leafs were close to $100 million without a cap.
Yeah, what was Detroit?
Detroit was 100.
Yeah.
Detroit. But,
I'll go back to our conversation with Kenny the other day, and the conversation about the contract, $28 million.
Oh, yeah.
For Sergei Fedorov,
one year.
$28 million for 1 year because of the offer sheet.
Well, and that was Carolina trying to bluff their way into getting Fedorov and force the Red Wings to spend that money. The same thing happened, by the way, Joe Sakic and the New York Rangers. Mm-hmm. And Colorado actually matched the offer sheet that Neil Smith had put out.
There's a great documentary on that.
It is. I think it helped them make a movie. It's a great storyline. It is on Netflix, I think.
Offer sheet's more difficult now based on what we heard from Darren compared to back then?
I just think people are afraid of offer sheets unless it's the perfect storm. You know, the Broberg situation was a perfect storm. I think we got an indication that Holloway, I think if you look back, I think Stan probably, if you got a couple of nice cold beer into Stan, he might admit that he should have matched the Holloway contract. But, you know, it goes back to how close to the cap are you and what are you able to do? And Dylan Holloway had a hell of a season in St. Louis, and so did Philip Roberg. And by the way, Holloway's eligible for a new contract again. So,
well, Darren Ferris doesn't want anybody having those pops.
No, that's
right. So Mitch Marner, we're talking 100-point guy.
Yeah.
If he explodes, what is he?
120.
I guess
120 points.
That's huge.
Putting the 120 points into that Vegas offense. Oh my goodness.
That blows away any franchise mark by a mile.
Well, people in your town are going to love watching Mitch Marner play. They are. Mm-hmm. It's a fact of life. People in Toronto loved Mitch Marner playing regular season hockey.
The effect of being at peace with yourself, that's what we're going to see this year. It might be the greatest experiment of that.
That, and you're right, and I'm not trying to one-up you here, but to be able to go home, to know your wife and your son are in a good state of mind as well, must be worth its weight. It really must. Knowing, you know, when you're on the road and things are going on and you have no control over, how much do you worry? And the answer is, we've all traveled. We've all had family issues when we travel. And it's, you can't focus. And that's where you feel sorry for a guy like Mitch Marner and what he went through in Toronto. And hopefully that's behind him with his time with the Golden Knights.
And Sam Bennett is not a player that's judged on the regular season. He just goes on and wins Stanley Cups and cranks it up in the playoffs.
And gets married and then water skis with the Stanley Cup and the Conn Smythe Trophy on Lake Simcoe. That was kind of cool, though.
I don't know how you do it, to be honest.
What, water ski?
Well, no, with like, yeah, hanging out with stuff like that. I know water skiing, but I'd be so afraid of something happening to those things out in a boat.
By the way, worst things have happened to the Stanley Cup.
Was he water skiing or was he wakeboarding?
Wakeboarding? I don't know. It's all the same to me. I can't do either, so it doesn't matter.
The wakeboarding's really cool.
Yeah,
I would love to see you and I wakeboarding.
Yeah, I'd be hugging the damn board. I'd be chest down. Stop!
It would bring us together. John Shannon, Darren Millard, wakeboarding out there.
Oh, man.
There's a thought in your mind. Enjoy it. Thanks to Human Clarity for getting us through this episode. Really appreciate it from Darren Ferris. If you like what you heard, subscribe and don't miss the next episode of 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon.